Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
That's exactly where you're at, where we specialize in nothing best, but nothing else but the very best in Bible-based content. And so today, we're going to be continuing our conversation, and we're going to be joined on the line by my elder, Millicent Janambi. We're just finalizing our connectivity there so that we can get straight into it as we discuss this very important subject. When you look at digital age and the worship that we are now giving in that platform, is it equivalent to meeting face-to-face? Does it somehow take away from the worship that we would have given had we been in that space together? So that's what we're going to be conversing about. And of course, I want to hear your experience. What's been your take on it? I mean, the pandemic was with us. It's been about, what, a year, 2 years ago now, since things started to normalize, so to speak. But it was 4 years ago when things kind of hit us and we were a bit left and a bit shaken, right? And so I want to hear your take to say, after you kind of normalize into this technology phase that actually you can have church on this platform, how do you now take it? And how are you feeling when people don't worship on a regular basis and say, I know I was online, or perhaps you're like, guys, I don't need to go every weekend. Surely I can go maybe once a year even online. Works just the same. Let's hear. We've got Elder joining us on the line. Let's see if we have connected. Elder Njalambi, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, and how are you doing, Derek?
No, we're doing okay. Thank you so much. Sorry, man. It seems like we were battling a bit there to connect to you.
Yes, I'm in an area where connection is so bad, and yet we are talking about the digital church. So what a timely example of what could go wrong.
Yeah, talk about it, right? Talk about it. What an irony. But thank you so much that despite the challenges that you're facing technologically, you still are making time for us and the listeners. We truly want to appreciate you for that.
We appreciate it, and we praise the Lord for the privilege.
Amen and amen. Dala, so we were just discussing here, and I suppose we can start with the same question as we did in our earlier conversation. Online church, it was necessary during the time, right? But at this point, has it become more of a challenge than it is a blessing? I mean, I was just chatting with the listeners to say, when you look at Hebrews 10:25, do not forsake the gathering. Can we say we've gathered when we've met online in that fashion? What's your take?
Yes. I think during that season, we had such a wake-up call.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would remember many of our churches were not ready to embrace the digital.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And so we were forced by circumstances during the recent pandemic a few years ago to really go virtual. But virtual was not new during the pandemic.
True.
It had been there before. It's just that we had not embraced it. And these systems to connect you beyond your imagination, we're there. The whole internet protocol talks to the ability to connect machines, which we hope behind them are human beings who are intending to fellowship or to connect and
so
to converge.
True.
So you're quite right. The technology has been there for many, many years. Even your ability to send your writing to a person who's the other side of the world, that's communication that's way beyond the physical. So we have had technology that has carried our words, carried our voices now, and even carried our pictures to the other side of the world. There is still room for the online church and online services and online Bible studies, because they get the message, the Advent message, to the ends of the world. I think there is room for it, and there will always be room for it. And COVID and all the other previous challenges and the way the world is now working is showing us that we are actually in the fourth industrial revolution, which is the information technology. So we are now getting platforms to do most of the work which our preachers, our teachers, our musicians cannot do. And by the way, can I shock you?
Okay.
Revelation chapter 14.
Yes,
I know in your mind is the three angels' messages.
Mm-hmm.
But I am beyond that. I am on verse 18. I'm done with the three angels' messages, or let's just say we've passed over them, the first, the second, the third, and we do know they are flying in the midst of heaven, so they are tapping into the airwaves.
Okay, okay.
That's how the gospel will be finished. So the online church is helping us to do exactly that. I personally believe while I'm on that one, transitioning to verse 13, I believe this is the method that will complete the work and get the message all over the world. And I believe that's what Jesus meant when he says time will be shortened.
Okay.
The online church gets us to do more in less resources and less time. And we tend to have bigger impacts with a small investment. All right. So the online church has got a lot of efficiencies in reaching large numbers. If you do your social marketing properly and, you know, you can go viral. But while I'm there, verse 13 after the three angels' messages says, and then John was told to write, blessed are those who die in the Lord henceforth. They rest from their works. In fact, it says, blessed are those who die in the Lord henceforth, says the Spirit. For they rest from their works. They rest, but their works
they do,
follow them.
Yeah.
There is your digital ministry being proclaimed. It is very expensive for God to lose one preacher today. Let me give an example. Imagine if one of our leading preachers in Southern Africa, for interest's sake, Dr. Papu.
Okay.
If we are to lose him, how much have we lost? A lot. It's like a whole library has bent down. It's a big loss to God. I believe God then wants us to make sure before any of these preachers die, we must record their messages so that when they are resting in their graves, their videos are doing exactly what they would have done if they were alive.
The message lives on.
That's what I believe the online church is still. It's a bigger, greater strategic investment for God, but it does not have to kill the physical meeting together.
Is it optional, though, Mdala, that we can say, Elder Njalambi, you need to record, so you go to church. I will then watch what you recorded online. I don't need to come. I'll come maybe once a quarter for Holy Communion. Or even better yet,
Optimizing. It depends on what you do with the free time you've created.
I'm not at home.
Yes, absolutely.
This
thing is meant to make sure you don't miss church so that you will have no excuse on the day of judgment.
But how do we do the fellowship part? I mean, we were just quoting that verse, right? It says, don't forsake fellowshipping with others.
Yes. So my take on Hebrews 10:25, and I think also if you look at the first church, they thrived a lot on meeting in person, fellowshipping together. If you read Acts chapter 2 from verse 42 to 47, what brought the Holy Spirit was that they were gathering together in the upper room and fellowshipping together, and the Spirit was poured, and they had all things in common. So they shared a lot of resources. We need to embrace that response, especially in these last days.
Okay.
Starting in our homes, then going to our congregations and into our social events and our social meetings. I think it is important to have a very dedicated face-to-face worship system from home right up to church. And during those meetings, we need to co-opt the online church and make them part of those events. So I definitely am pro digitizing every church service as much as possible, especially for the evangelistic parts of our services, our sermons, our teachings, our Sabbath school lessons. As much as we can, we must mainstream media into those events and capture them professionally. for the online audience, because it's expensive in Africa to be online, and not everyone has that privilege.
True.
But there's still a bigger pool of fish that is in those ponds that we cannot reach with physical meetings. They will never come to our gatherings because they don't identify with the way we worship. They feel intimidated. But if we throw it online, we are giving as many people.
Certainly. Certainly.
So that whosoever hears can then follow. Yes.
I wanted to find out and I like how you're saying let's more focus rather on that Matthew 28:18 approach that this platform, this ministry of online can reach and take us to places we've never been. The aim, though, I'm just trying to think the next phase. So here you've reached this person. Is the hope that they just receive the message, accept Christ, and continue living where they're living and live on? Or is it to then draw them and maybe unite them with a physical church somewhere? Or is them just joining online and every Sabbath for the next 5 years, if Christ has not yet come, that is okay with us? Or is the hope that they can then find a place where they can be nurtured in a physical space and be getting that fellowship?
My quick answer to that is that the online church is a reality.
Okay.
The quicker we embrace it and we plan for it, the better. Because the digital church is a reality. I have been talking about this thing for the last 14, 15 years. I used to call it, and I still call it, the virtual church.
Okay. So it's complete.
It's complete.
Okay.
It operates perfectly. It's nurturing and growing a body of... And remember, Derek, we have limited physically now because of sin. But when we shall get to heaven, we shall fellowship virtually unlimited in different spaces. I don't even know what mode of transport will be there between planets and Earth. Because the capital city of the world will be here. How do we travel? Ellen White says we shall mount on wings and fly to the other zones. And we are limited now because we are only working on maybe 2D dimension.
True.
You know, we can only deal with what is here, but we are not informed about what's everywhere.
Yeah.
The real church of God in heaven is not limited by time, space, and matter.
Okay.
And God is trying, for me, through the virtual church, I see God preparing a body of believers who have never met before. But who will meet face to face and know each other as if they knew each other for years, simply because they were doing virtual. So the virtual can be a complete church, which we can run virtually with mechanisms to support those members. It works best when there's opportunities to meet physically.
Okay.
But sometimes it's not possible, because if I'm praying with someone who's in Hawaii every week, they're tuning into my prayer platform, they're tuning into my channel.
Yeah.
It is very expensive for them to travel from Hawaii to come and
Come and meet physically with you.
They might as well just send that money so I can use it on my missions to create more content to reach them. So the virtual church is there. We can run Bible studies. And when someone then converts to Christ wherever they are and they're needing a physical church, over the years, I have always engaged with those members to find out where they are and then to look online where there's a church where they can go to, and then I link them up with those churches because they have phone calls.
Sorry, Mdala, just to cut you there, but you're now coming back to the, because that was my initial question in actual fact, to say, is then the virtual church a fishing platform, if you will, where the... church, quote-unquote, real church should then happen at a location. What I was trying to say is this platform is there to just reach and reach out. And then when you find those people are now connected with Christ, you can then move them to an actual physical connection for fellowship and all the other blessings they can get at a physical space.
Yeah, because we can't baptize you virtually. We haven't figured out that technology. So you need to find a church where you can then be nurtured. Even the model of the Good Samaritan, that Samaritan saved that man, did everything he needed to do for that man. He just left him at the inn to be taken care of. And so the church physical remains absolutely critical, and we must continue to grow it. The virtual church is coming in very strongly and is currently meeting our spiritual needs.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure it meets our physical fellowship needs to see someone, to hug someone, to sit next to someone and to talk. You know, the virtual currently is not doing that, but it is to a greater extent able to actually support members who are very far from where you are.
And I think that's a perfect opportunity right there. Della, sadly, our time is out, but I want us to wrap up with this. When you look at technology, sadly, it's a very competitive space. And if you're not giving the viewer what is sensitive or what is sensitizing and tantalizing to the senses, they might not come to your page. So you'll find that the pages which have got the highest followers, I mean, you look at those televangelists which are doing the most, 700,000 subscribers and so forth. There is this temptation to then be a clickbaiter, and that's the approach that people are now taking to use, where you just give something that might not be substance, but because that's what people want to hear. How do you avoid that temptation, especially in the technology church, in the virtual church, to run away from being an entertainer and really give authentic worship even in that space, whereas people are more sensitized by, you know, what's the new hip and happening thing?
That is the language that comes from social marketing. So the fish needs the bait. They are in an ocean where you can't reach them. So you see, the traditional rule of media is, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead. All right. Yeah. If there's no blood in it, people won't be interested in it. And the things that go viral are things that are a bit scandalous and topics that are really leaning towards controversy and all of that. But let me assure you, we have one script. It has always been the same script for Jesus, for Paul, for Peter, for all the apostles of the past and all the great evangelists. However, what we need and what the people are looking for is knowledge. Give knowledge. And all this hype of social marketing and trending, this and that, it's okay to get you the masses. But Jesus is not interested in the masses, because the matrix of heaven is, there's joy when one sinner comes to Christ. One gets the whole heaven partying. So the matrix of heaven online is not about viral videos. It's not about clickbaiting people. It's about giving them the truth that causes them to want to change their lives.
Yeah.
And I know it might not be attracting a lot of people.
True.
But keep it simple. Keep it pure. Keep it clean. And God will do the rest. I have been running a channel for the last 14 years, and guess how many people I'm growing by every month? I get every month in excess of 1,500 to 2,000 new subscribers without doing any marketing. The only marketing I do is put quality videos online, clear pictures, clear content. If it's an audio podcast, make sure it's recorded with the best audio. Quality attracts
focus
on online.
Quality.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I'll just stop it right there and say, make sure quality is your other name. The rest will take care of itself. Angels will market your content. They'll give it to the people who need to watch it.
Yeah.
There's a bigger marketing team from heaven to do that for you. Just do quality and leave it there for God to use it.
Amen and amen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mdala. I think wonderful words to put it there. Let Christ take care of the rest. You focus on the content, plain and simple, and focus on the quality, and heaven's got your back. Mdala, until we chat again tomorrow, may God bless you, and thank you once again.
Thank you so much. I look forward to talk about tomorrow, faith in the digital age. Can I still believe in God when I have AI to ask?
Talk about closing
tomorrow.
That God gap, right? Thanks, Mdala. Bye-bye.
Yes. Amen. Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.